Action Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I'm going under, I am going over, yeah. I'm going under, I am coming over, yeah. I'm going under, I am coming over, yeah. I'm going under, yeah. I am coming over, yeah.
I never break under pressure, I always rise high. I'm a champion backed by the Most High. No sinking for me, all I see, victory in front of me. If you dig a ditch for me, you better dig a ditch for you.
Welcome, welcome to Remark. I am your host, the precious one, sitting in studio with yours truly, Miss Akira Molly. And so, unfortunately, the men are not here today. Last week, Sunday, I think it would have been that they hosted the show, and we were absent.
We were absent, yeah.
And so today is just Akira and I winging the show. And so before we get started, I want you all to keep Darvin, Father, in prayers. He's still dealing with his father, so please continue to uplift his family in their time of need right now. And of course, Mr. Garth Maynard Rose Burroughs, he's dealing with some other obligations. So, you know, let's keep them in our prayers and in our thoughts. And yes. So I'm happy to be here on this wonderful, spectacular Sunday with yours truly.
Akira.
So before I let Akira say hello, we're going to dive into a very interesting conversation today. Very, 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 very interesting conversation today. I'm going to throw those lines out there for you. That will be 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, the Family Islands 357-20, and then our text line that is powered by BTC. The number is 422-4796. So go ahead, Kieran, you greet the wonderful listeners today.
Happy Sunday, everyone. Welcome to Remark today. It's a pleasure to be in your company, and we hope that you are excited to connect with us today.
Yes, indeed, indeed. How does it feel without Darvin and Garth?
Oh, my God. I miss you guys, but I know you all have obligations, and we understand. But you all held it down last week. I wasn't able to make it. I would have, but I didn't. But I really appreciate you, fine gentlemen. Thank you.
Yes, yes. It does feel a little bit different. But, you know, like as Kira mentioned, you held it down last week, Sunday. So we are just returning that favor. And so today's conversation may be some people may feel uncomfortable about it. But that's okay. Discomfort often, it's where growth develops.
Yeah, so true.
So today we're talking about church, faith, and some practices that have many that we've been taught and we've never really questioned that we see going on in the church. I sit back and I'm like, wow, this is the thing. These are the practices that we live by. And so these are the things that we want to discuss today. The hypocrisy in church as well.
Mm-hmm.
The biasness in church. The favoritism in church.
That's a huge one.
Okay. Not given accountability in church. And so Akira and I was talking earlier. And we were in conversation and I said, I think one of the things that I can say that I observe that I've witnessed it, that a lot of, when it comes to marriage, and, you know, neither of I are married, you know, so people say, oh, you don't touch what you're not in or what you don't know anything about. But I mean, I've been around a lot of married individuals to at least gain some type of insight and information.
Yep.
And I, in our conversation, we Kira and I, we just was talking about how is it that the church, when you get married, you say a vow. And I want to read this vow, the traditional vow that we, well, married couples, they read. And it goes like this: I take whomever thee to be my wedded wife or husband to have or to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. And so, but Akira looked like, what? But this is the traditional vow that they say when they are joining the union together. Mm-hmm. Now, I had one, a prophetess said that she doesn't advise the traditional vows because you bind to something that it says for better or worse. So what if your marriage is worse? You're being abusive. You're going to stay in that abusive relationship because you've committed to this vow. And then we have another one, Bishop. He said he would like to keep the traditional vows because it gives accountability, meaning that you cannot back out of any situation. Like if your spouse was to get sick or something was to happen, so these vows keep you binded. But even though they keep you binded, is it really working today in what you see, what goes on in the church? And this is just something I just want to dive into. This is not really where we're going, but I just want us to discuss. And I just want to ask you, when you hear that, when you see that going on in the church, and you see, I mean, because I've seen women come in and they would talk and say, you know, how they are emotionally neglected, even though the husband, he's taking care of the house, he's providing and all these other stuff, but he's not there. He's emotionally absent. And then you would hear some church members and even the leaders would say, well, why would you want to leave this marriage? You gave a vow, you gave a commitment. So what do you think the church has been doing justice? Doing justice for the marital individuals?
In my opinion, I think that the church, yeah, they celebrate weddings, but I think some, not entirely all, I think they struggle with supporting marriages. Like when it comes to the issues of, you know, whatever happens in the marital home, from like what my experience, I mean, from what I have seen person's experience,
right,
it's almost as if they're not equipped to deal with some of the issues that marriages have. Like, for instance, they'll say, oh, you just pray for your husband, but how? I'm praying, but please.
Right, there's no resolution. It's just pray, pray, pray. We have a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
What's happening?
Hey, how are you?
Of course.
I'm listening. Listen, I hear you talking about hypocrisy in the church.
Right.
You're talking about marriage. So here's a dilemma for you. The Bahamas is a Christian nation. We follow Christian principles, Christian virtues. The Christian church, as we understand it, has been established following Christ. Yet we study the Holy Bible, Old and New Testament.
Right.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But also, the fathers of faithful from the Old Testament is Abraham or Abraham, as you know him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Abraham, the faithful, had a wife by the name of Sarah, but he also had a handmaiden by the name of Hagar.
Right.
And he had children for both, but he's still the father of the faithful. You're looking at Jacob, who had the two wives, and David and Solomon, that has the two wives.
Right.
So in your marital vows, is it possible then to have the same sincere vows to more than one person? And if that is so, that a man can say the same thing to more than one woman, is it also acceptable, then, in Christian values, to not be hypocritical, to say that a woman should be able to have more than one husband? That's my situation.
You mischievous. But you know, of course, our Christian values, they don't even allow a second wife. Not even, let's talk to a second husband for a wife. So, boy, that it's really is something. And going back to what you made mention, you said you don't think the church is really equipped when it comes to these type of topics, because even when it comes to sex, I think sex is so taboo. They stray away from it. All they talk about is, you know, submit to your husbands and do, and then husband, you have to love the wife as Christ loved the church. And that's as far as it goes, but it's way more than just that.
Yeah.
It's way more than just that. But these are the things that we constantly hear. And then we have a lot of, well, I mean, I don't know them personally, but I've heard women and their cries, even men. You mm-hmm. know, they get married thinking, okay, you know, I've done the noble thing. I've been a godly man. I kept myself, I do this, and now I enter a bind that the church really holding me accountable to.
That's so true.
And it's like, I cannot come out of this bind, because how is it going to be a reflection of me? Is it going to say I don't love God? Is it going to say that I'm a hypocrite? What is it going to look like? And so a lot of people stay in these situations because of fear. Fear of what the church is saying. Fear of what the church, how the church is going to condemn them. And so, I want to ask you today, when it comes to the hypocrisy in church, what is it that you see a lot that's going on?
I see a lot of things being taught. I mean, taught, but it's not actually executed.
Okay, so you'll say in church, they'll say, can you give an example of what it is?
Let's say, for instance, love. Should I use that? Let's love. Can I say love? Yeah, let's love our brothers as ourselves. When we're pretty much selfish, they only care about what they can get rather than what they can give. It's all about, oh, let's just put our money in, you know, and let's see what we can get to make our lives easier rather than pouring into the people.
Yeah, and then, you know, what I find, and this conversation is just me having Akira and I having a free conversation. We're just thinking out loud. We want your perspective. Let me give those numbers out again. That's 323-625-4316, 325-4259. From the Family of Violence, that's 357-20. And the text line is 322-4796. And so back to what I was saying, like, this conversation is not to bash the church, because I can say that I love the church. Now, some of the things that I can say, I mean, I love the church, but I don't like certain things that I see mm-hmm. in the church. And I was having a conversation the other day, and I just feel like church has become so performative, and it's become an entertainment as opposed to being a community, coming together, building. And I'm not saying this is for every church, because you do have some churches that are communal, they're tribal, and they wanna enrich your lives. But then you have these other churches, then, you know, as they could just rape and rob and take what they could take, and that's just what it is. And a lot of us go to church looking for community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of us go to church looking for empowerment and enrichment. And then sometimes, most times in turn, boy, we get highly disappointed.
Yeah.
It becomes a big disappointment. And one of the things that I've seen a lot when churches, they would raise they would raise monies for the pastor to have a vehicle, but they would never do something like that for a member. And this is, again, this is not for all of the churches. So let me just be clear.
I've seen churches give away cars to their members. I've seen that. But then, like you mentioned, you do have some churches. They would, honestly, they would put together to get a car. But I think, I mean, a vehicle to me is, it's okay. It's not borderline out there. But when you talk about vacation, something that is not necessary, like, man, that's, to me, that you're doing too much. That's far too much.
Right. And then, again, like I say, when it's the pastor's birthday, oh, we got to raise the fundraiser for pastor because he got to eat some steak. But then, a lot of members have birthday too.
I think, with that being his birthday, but then you want to celebrate your leader, though. You want to make sure you have an appreciation for your leader. And if that's the way maybe they want to go about it, then I think that's okay. I feel like when you go overboard, then that's when it becomes a bit too much.
Well, I could agree with that to a certain point. Go ahead, you can read the text.
Okay, so we have a text here. Akira, I'm hearing a lot of revelation about sermons, finances, and what goes on in church. Are you guys speaking about all churches or just your church?
No, I said specifically, and I will say it again, I am not bashing the church as an overall body. I am just speaking on some of my observation as being in churches. So I'm not just speaking on the church. I'm not speaking on the church that I'm currently at. But no church is perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to put that out there. No church is perfect. We are humans. We are flawed. We're all striving or should be striving for some type of excellence. We say perfection, but excellent, because I don't think we will ever reach perfection.
True.
Right. And so I'm not speaking about that. And going back there, you have some churches, they only teach you to be eternally minded. So it's like, you only preparing me to die.
Yeah.
Not even preparing me to live, because I have to go out. I have to meet people who is not of the faith. Mm-hmm. I have to be amongst heathens and so forth, as what they call them. So I need to know how to live my life day to day. You only preparing me to see heaven while I'm here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
We need empowerment and preparation. And so I commend the texter who listens to financial advice and so forth and so on. And these are the stuff that we need in church as a body so we could be holistic. Because yes, Jesus died for our sins and so forth and so on. That is good. But we still need to live. And there's no other perfect example than the legacy of Jesus. He walked on the face of the earth. He did that, and the things that he did, I mean, the Bible says he is without sin. That's the only thing that really differentiates us. But the things that he did, we could achieve those things as well. And so I just want to talk about too now, all these phones, oh boy, you know when you talk with church, these phones, oh, they lit right up. All right, caller, go ahead. Let me hear your thoughts.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
How are you?
Wonderful. Great. How about yourself?
I was listening to you and the lady quite a while. She has a church that she leads?
None of us has a church that we lead.
Okay, no.
Oh, no, you were listening to the show before.
Oh, this is a different show.
Yes, this is a different show.
Oh,
and that was a wonderful show, by the way. She talked about all about the prayers and the healing and the deliverance,
okay, yeah.
Which was good.
A thing on the prayer. I go to some churches.
Uh-huh.
And the person that will get up to pray,
uh-huh,
they will pray for the pastor children, for the pastor grandchildren, for the pastor wife. Even for the boss, a cousin, and mommy them.
Oh, wow.
And you never hear them mention their husband name or their children or like they pray for everything other than their children or their family. They pray for the pastor. They pray for everything.
I've seen that. I've seen that also many times. And this is why it's like Akira said something earlier. She said, there's nothing wrong with covering, praying. Let me just say praying and celebrating your leader. But I think there's a difference between honor and worshiping the pastor.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
You have some people that go to churches.
Right.
And if their pastor ain't preaching that Sunday, they don't come to church.
No. That's true. And they're more committed and faithful to the pastor than they are to God.
But not only that, some of the women are more faithful to the pastor than to their husband.
Yes, it is. And I'm glad you touched there, because I can tell you a story. I knew about someone who was cooking dinner, and the husband went to go and get some food out of the pot. And she said, you don't dare touch this pot. This is for pastor. Now, you know that is out of order.
Yeah.
What would you think about a pastor can tell a woman, if this scripture that a pastor can tell a woman, she shouldn't or she can't have sex with her husband, or she shouldn't have sex with her husband?
No.
No.
Unless, I mean.
They can tell, if I was married, they could have told my wife that, you know. But my wife had to go and live with them.
I would agree with that. But with him saying that, I don't know the context of it all, because the husband may be out there and he may.
I don't care what the husband doing.
Okay? Now listen, hold on. I'm just saying he may have contracted something and she may be afraid. There could be variables. So let's not just.
Now that's a difference.
That's what I'm saying.
Not only that.
So that's what I'm saying.
You are still my wife. You're still in my home. Let me ask you a question then.
So if you neglect your wife emotionally, do you still expect for her to show up in that way? You expect for her to still be intimate with you? Because, you know, women, we are emotional.
And
yes,
I understand that.
Right.
But
so
it is a give and take. If me and you having a problem as a husband and a wife, I'm not saying you shouldn't go for counseling or you shouldn't go talk to somebody about it, you know.
Right.
But talk to me first.
Yeah.
You have some women will go and they won't even talk to their husband. They'll go straight to they tell them they pass the and they pass the wife all their business.
And some of them, their
wife been doing worse than them than they did.
Yep.
And I completely agree with you.
Another thing too, in closing.
Okay.
This thing that they're going on this fast.
Oh, geez.
Some say they go on this 21-day, this 7-day, this Daniel fast, this whoever fast.
Right.
You know, when you go on a fast, you should give up everything.
I agree.
That length of time when you go on your fruits, whatever.
Right.
Do you think it's fair for a married woman to go on a fast without discussing that with her husband?
No, I do not think so. I think that should be a conversation they should have.
And I think if the husband, I'm not saying the husband is God, you know. I'm not saying that the husband should tell you when to worship God or when to do. But if the husband say, boy, I think we should do that at this time.
Right.
I think you should respect your husband's wishes. Because for that, within that 21 days, do you know how many homes we get destroyed?
I agree. And then, like I say, things like that, it opened doors for infidelity.
Yeah.
You know, and so these are things that you want to prevent.
And then the woman said, but my husband is going to church. But the woman in one church, the husband in the next church.
Mm-hmm.
That's already
different. And this is a form of unequally yoke.
Yes.
I don't care what nobody
I agree.
Tells.
Yes, I agree with you.
Now, let me ask you something. What if the wife is serving at another church before she met the husband?
Yeah, that could happen. But eventually, we're going to end up in one
church
together.
Yes. It should be that way. Mm-hmm.
Before my wife had died, she was at one church and I was at one church.
Right.
She said that we became the agreement where at the beginning, she'd go to her church on the first Sunday for the Lord's Supper and was done.
Mm-hmm.
Then she'll come to my church the second Sunday. Then she'll go back to the church the third. And we did and tell me my wife was standing one church.
Okay.
My church.
Awesome.
I told her, you know, go to your, I mean, write to your pastor, because the church was really good to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I told her, you know, and I met her in the church. I met her in that church.
Right.
And
okay.
I was in another church. But the church is, let me say this. I'm a church goer. I believe in God. I'm a God-fearing person.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the church has, you take 10 marriage, what do you say in the world? People in the world.
Mm-hmm.
10 couples in the world. And 10 couples in the church. And I think we have more divorce in
the statistics show us that the Christian body is the highest rate of divorce.
Yes. Check it out.
Yeah, you're correct. You're correct.
Because
and see, this is what I'm saying.
The man go to get a bear. Him and his wife go get that bear together when they go home. They're the happiest bunch in the world.
Right.
But when the man go in for the bear, the woman staying home reading the Bible, the man, now I ain't saying the woman got it, should go with the man.
Right.
I'm not saying the woman should go with the man. But the woman and the man go back home, the woman smell a little bit of bear. Oh, yes, her mommy. You know, the Bible speaks that a man rather live on a rooftop.
With all the nagging wife.
With a nagging woman.
Yeah, I agree.
That's scripture.
I agree.
That not the people in the world is raw and fight, you know. But then the church people hold in things longer than the people in the world.
Yeah, we have a next call on the line.
Thank you for calling.
Appreciate your contribution, man. That was awesome. Thank you again. Caller, you on the line?
Yes, good afternoon.
Hello. How you doing on this spectacular Sunday?
Wonderful. Yeah. Where the law is silence on how you should, your bedroom, there's no sin. Pastor, number one, they even have no authority even to tell you how you should do in your bedroom.
Mom, but they do it. They tell them what to do, how to do it, and when not to do, and everything else. They do it.
They use their authority on people that are ignorant.
Yes.
You can imagine a 23-year-old fellow married and a 23-year-old woman married. You could say if you're around 70 or 80, you know,
right.
Then you wouldn't be into that like that. But you can imagine a 23 and 30-year-old two couple.
Right.
And these fellas, all they into for a good show.
Yes, indeed.
And the Bible didn't even tell you the bed is undefiled. However you please to communicate with your wife in that room, that's up to you all too. I'm talking about marriage. Marriage is so holy. There are many people get married for the wrong reason.
I agree.
Yes,
they may get married because the girl is a mongrel skin, she pretty.
Yep.
What about
the man of financial security?
What about if that woman get an accident, mess up her face, you still gonna love her?
So true.
What about when she's over fat with the baby fat and out of shape?
Mm-hmm.
Are you still is gonna love her?
Right.
See, we must be honest before God when we stand up, because we are gonna be judged by those same words what we say.
Right.
What about when, in all of these days, people get married, like you say. A woman may be smart, get a good job, it's a banker, and stuff like that. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond, I going to stay with this woman.
Right.
Whether whatever happened.
Yes.
My husband, he may not be able to for the bedroom no more. You still got to stay with him. You make the vow. And that vow, the Bible tell you, don't make a vow and break it. You understand me?
So in regards to the vow, because I mentioned the traditional vows earlier, and as you mentioned, you said if that husband is unable to fulfill his marital duties to his wife, she must stay no matter what.
She have to stay because she said she's taking say till death do we part. In other words, he may not be able to function. But try to get help from him. And if he no help, well, what it is what it is.
So you're saying she must just stay and try her best to make it work.
Well, she got to try because it's plenty other things, you know. It's plenty things what could help him, you
right.
know. But if the man have sugar, well, ain't nothing that he really could do. Try to calm down the sugar. So the point is, again, no pastor, I don't care who you is, presiding bishop, you do not eat in my house before me. And that's what it is. So much of them like to use their authority.
Yeah, I think there's no boundary when it comes to the marital affairs. I mean, I do believe that they are there to give divine counsel.
Yeah.
But when you cross the boundary and say, oh, you can't do this and you have to refrain from this, I think that's overcrossing.
Well, you see, if you're still in marriage and the man can't do that whatever no more, then what it leave for that woman to do? She can't go out?
I do believe that it will open door for infidelity. It would, because, I mean, well, you know, the Bible does say, you know, man is drawn away from his own lustful desires. And I think if that's a need, and that's a mighty need that needs to be met, I think, and if the husband is unable to meet that mighty need, I think she's going to get that mighty need elsewhere.
But yes, I hear you, but now, that's how we may feel. But what do we see how God say about
yeah.
it? Because God say when you step out of that marriage, you're committing on adultery. So in other words, who report we will believe. Now, that is the reason why I said we make vow, and then when we can't fulfill it, then one party maybe step out, like you say, because a woman have urge or a man have urge, and stuff like that.
So what if it's an agreement between the two of them, just like Abraham and Sarah and Hagar? What if it's a scenario like that?
Under that covenant, there was no sin towards that. You see, so in other words, is that like David them had all those concubines and wife and stuff like that? There was no sin to that. But now. We living under now a new covenant now.
Okay.
That we now have to make the right decision on whatever we decide to do. Because why? If a woman go out and commit adultery on her husband, who knows? She may end up leaving him and go and live with another man.
Well, that's true. That's a risk.
Or the man could do the same thing. He could be unfaithful to his wife. You see,
okay.
So it's a serious thing, and that's the reason why when one making vows and stuff like that, that marriage is so important. You see, Jesus married to us. We are the church. He married to us, and when we...
I agree.
Go out and commit different things, it affects him.
I agree. We got to wrap it up. We're going to take a quick commercial break. The phone lines are lit up. We'll be right back.
You cannot stop this show. I am blessed where I go. Can't keep a good man down.
Can't keep a good man down.
Solid as a rock. Knock me down, I get back up. I'm gonna dress up in my finest. Put this behind me. Got so much work to do. Gonna make my next move.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Beulah Gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace? With the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what are we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Can't keep a good man down.
Can't keep a good man down.
Solid as a rock.
Welcome, welcome back. We are here live on Remark. I am your host, the Precious One, alongside my co-host, Akira Molly. We are talking church, faith, marriages, hypocrisy, biasness. Now, before we took a commercial break, we had a text came in, and I just want to let Akira read that text off so we could address that text, and we're going to go to the phone lines right quick. And okay. Before you do, I'm going to put these phones lying out one more time. That's 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, the Family of Islands, 35720, and our text line powered by BTC is 422-4796. Go ahead, Kira. Okay, let's read that text.
This text has said that's his wife, and so why is he not? And he is the head leader of his family.
I wasn't talking about that one. We're not airing out any dirty laundry on the air.
This one says, ladies, we know the church is always a hot topic, but remember, it is God's people. Criticizing them openly is not okay. First Chronicles 16:23. If you really care, go into your closet and pray hard about it and see the changes openly. But we have to stop finding fault with God's ministers and pastors, and especially by doing so on air.
Okay, Tex, I really appreciate your text. Again, I'm going to say openly, this conversation is not to bash the churches. I am involved in a church. I am just speaking on experiences, observation, and we're just having a healthy conversation because honestly, there are so many things going on in the church, and there's no accountability. So who's going to hold these ministers mm-hmm. accountable? Yes, I am not saying that you have pastors who are not good leaders. You do.
Yes.
I've met some of them. I know them personally. Just the first time we hosted the show, we had on Pastor Darren. I know him personally. I have a work relationship with him. I can call him up anytime. And if you ask me in terms of fruitfulness and bearing fruit,
yes,
that's him. So we're not here bashing the church. We're not. And then where do we get this notion that they are God people? We are all God's people. We are all. So when I sit here, I'm not sitting here and singling them out. I simply said, I observe these things. And our observation is just to say that we need growth. We need change. We need more development. We need more tools in the institution so people can live better lives. What you saying?
I agree.
Okay. And so that is all this is about. This is not about bashing anything. And then the last thing I want to say, we love to throw out just pray. Pray is a twofold thing, just as faith. You can have all the faith you want, but if you don't have no work, it doesn't make any sense. So I get pray. We could pray all day, all night long, as much as we want. But if we don't have actions along with that prayer, then what is going to happen? So again, this is a healthy conversation. This has nothing to do with bashing the church, but we just want to talk about what's going on in the church, and it has to be stopped. We see these things going on day in and day out, but we still sit up in the pews and we accept
turn
it.
A blind eye.
We turn a blind eye, but we need to, just how we always talk about holding the politicians accountable.
Yes.
We need to hold the pastors accountable. Caller, go ahead.
Ladies.
Hi, hello.
How are you doing today?
Good,
great.
Good,
what
good.
About you? Sorry, you are really churchy today.
I'm not trying to get churchy, right?
I feel you, man. I feel you. I ain't got to explain that much.
Hey, and I explaining that text just now, I feel like a pastor, yeah, and you know, you know, most of your men, y'all don't like women pastor. I ain't trying to be a pastor, but I just saying, go ahead. Let me hear what you got to say today.
You explained yourself away to the ignorance of Christianity.
And that's it right there. See,
no,
that's it right there.
And you know, the solution is to be a heretic and don't not get involved. God is in the heart of a heretic, and there's no dilution. I'm talking about undiluted God. Imagine undiluted God with no Jesus. That's
right.
A pure God. But the church can't stand that. Because you know what? My irony with biblical texts and Christians, even when they ask questions about God, right?
Right.
It's like, when you say the who question, you're talking about people. Who stole the money? Who stole the milk?
Right.
You're talking about people. When you say who, you mean man. Am I wrong or right?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, So how could a Christian ask the question, who is God? They talking about man now, okay? And see, that's why me, personally, I take my oath to God. I won't have no involvement with no church and no Bible. None of the text will make me feel guilty as if I'm doing wrong. For the mere fact that me as a human being, you know what? My God tell me as a child, you know, God ain't nothing to play with. God ain't nothing to play with. Verbatim, you know. You see the people in the church? They are playing with God. They are playing with God. And the last thing, my God tell me, and I like 8 years old, you know, do not mix. My grandma said, beat me to go to church, all right? You don't beat no one into doing anything.
No.
Because all I do is make them really rigid against it.
And then it causes resentment.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you know what? Society is built that way. Through the threat of the Bible, Jesus, and the condemnation of man because you ain't following the biblical text. I tell you what, it's ridiculous. You know, just today, I went to Super Value, Cambridge, right? To say I could stop and get me one little piece of chicken and one little piece of a little boy or something to go along with it, right?
Okay.
Ironically, guess who's standing behind me? Guess who I met?
I know you're going to tell us.
Man, it's my step up and thing. I could tell who he is by him and the first lady.
Oh,
all two of them in lavender.
Blinging.
And he got gold ring all on his chin and things like that. He's a pimp, man.
Blinging.
Right?
Yeah.
But you know what? I asked him the question, you know, it's like, hold on. I say, man, hold on, man. I can see what you're dealing with. You was the ref. Yes. I say, ref, so, I mean, I see you standing online behind me. You ain't got to say it before me, right? But what ref, what's going on, man? I say, look like you ain't no food cooking home today, man. And that first lady, she right there, she went, where did she bleach?
Oh, jeez.
No, honestly,
you had to go to the, no, man,
lie, right?
No.
Oh, no, seriously, moment day something, and it's like, and I being real. Right?
Right.
In this life, just every human, I'm talking about just Christian, right?
Right.
Every human, right? And women, especially, right? You know what? That bag of flesh, that being, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That there, that's the one and only, and that's all you got. All right? You know what? Be proud of it, to be in it, no matter what. And the bottom line is this, right? How could a woman, and women mostly, right? Could it be in woman mind to be, you take this nice body and mess it up with bleach and glow, them funny hair, them funny nails, and the other 1% is up in public and things and stepping out there and what people look at you. You know what? I used to go to boys' again. I know all the artists, you know. They're looking for attention, right? But you know what? There are many more artists get stand at ease. You got left turn, right turn, about turn, check TLV, fall all out, okay? And you know what? These women that need to fall out and don't come in the public with all these old... You, how could you come in public like you're going to go to a play? And then what people will be looking at you. And guess what? When people ain't looking, you know what they start to do? They start throwing off clothes then. They start going more naked to try to get attention. Women need to go, I take me out to God. And I know Christian, I don't want to be none. You know what? I'm a man full of principles. And what the church doing is nothing but corruption and rot.
Well, I mean, okay? I agree to a certain point now. I just want to put this out there. And I understand your experience. I'm just going to say that all churches aren't the same. And so it's just like how a lot of, you'll have women say all men are no good. And you'll have men say all women are the same. And everybody is not the same. And so, we all encounter experiences that was not the best. But it doesn't mean that you don't have good bunches out there, because there are.
But what I'm saying is, right, under the banner of church, Bible, Christian, want me to say something? That's a rot name, okay? Because guess what? As corruption in this politics that goes on, and like everyone dumb, deaf, and blind, no one see nothing, no one hear nothing, no one know nothing, until this country goes down under deep in the hole, you know what? Christianity will be doing the same thing you see politics is doing, because politics and Christianity are married.
Of course.
They're married.
A lot of people think they're separate, but they're not.
They're separate. Because you know what? The politician give the preacher them all the land they want. When you go Gladstone Road, I see side by side acres in these buildings, about 1,000 feet long. For what? Mm-hmm. For what? This is not, man, I tell you no lie, right? If there's something, whatever they cover in the Bible called God, if that is real, all of them buildings should just get, I'm talking about like lightning, just bust all them open. Because they corrupt.
I got you, caller. We got to go. We got to run. We have another caller on the line. Thank you for your contribution. Caller, you on there?
Well, good evening.
Hello. Good evening. How are you?
I'm the same, tall, smart, and handsome, but thanks for asking. A real Bahamian alpha male.
Okay. All right. Let me hear what you got to say, Mr. Bahamian alpha male.
I like what the caller say. Say if they have some bedroom problems.
Right.
ED or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Did the woman slip out? He didn't say be forgiven, but he said it should be alluded.
No, well, I'm going to tell you what he said. He said that if he is unable to fulfill his marital duties, I told him that it could open doors for infidelity. And he said, well, she should work it out and they should have a conversation and she should stay. She shouldn't go out and find fulfillment elsewhere.
Wasn't his and her marital duty till death do we part? And to be with each other, not any other?
Agreed. That's what he was saying.
Well, let's spin the table. Let's spin this thing around.
Go ahead.
What if you married a woman, she can't have children? You could step out and do crazy and have some outside kids?
Well, you know, that's what some of them do.
That's what?
Some of them do that, yes.
That's ungodly.
I agree.
Okay.
Both is, actually.
We're a Christian nation, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we say that a lot, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, Lord, if we wasn't Christian, I wouldn't want to see the place with sin.
I think we acknowledge God, and we...
Yeah, we should say that.
Yes, we acknowledge God. Right, we acknowledge God.
Yeah. Remember a little while back, one of those members of parliament said that he was speaking to women's body mass index. He was saying we have a lot of pleasantly plump women.
Yes, I remember
the doctor?
That. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call the name
right.
out of respect on a Sunday, but tomorrow I'll call the name. He said he was going to implement a sin tax. And I said, remember that?
Yes, I remember.
He's going to put a little extra tax on the sugary drinks.
Right,
chocolate. Yes.
Yeah. And I told him on radio, I said, now listen, this card doesn't sound good because we could pay off this national debt with the amount of sin and sweethearting going around.
Boy.
You could tax that.
Yeah,
should.
On a serious note, we need to get back to God.
I agree.
Whichever way you want to do it. Because the hedonism and the other false gods that are coming to our country, and they come from Asia, they come from the Caribbean, all kind of different beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And as I see more of that coming to my country, I see more climate change and I see more storms. God punishes the people he loves, you know.
I agree. Well, I mean, so, you know, yeah, the Bible says he chastises whom he loves, yes.
Yeah. And so we need to get back to God because it is 53 years, and it is ungodly to have had 53 years and a bunch of politics and people and different parties and not build one hospital. That's ungodly, in my opinion.
I appreciate your contribution today.
Have a good one.
All righty, take care. Callie, you on there?
I was forced to call back.
Oh, you was forced to call back. Now, hold on. Before you said anything, I don't know if it was you when Akira read that text. Now, we don't want to air out no dirty laundry on the
No.
Okay, good.
No, I was forced to call back because of what a caller before the last, I think, said.
Oh, yeah, you go
when
ahead.
They talk about this thing about first lady.
Right. I didn't even answer that yet.
I always wondered that. I wonder if there's like a second.
If I was a woman to married to, he could have never called me no voice. He could have called me as the only lady or the lady. But you can't call me the voice because if you're in a competition and you come first, that means there are some people behind you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I agree.
And then they have this thing now for this armor bearer. The pastor don't even live his own Bible no more.
But, I mean, if you look, I mean, according to the Bible that I read, the armor bearer used to carry the armor. I know, but no Bible. I never knew an armor bearer used to carry themselves. He used to carry the armor.
Growing up back in the 80s, the early 80s, I think the pastor used to be the electrician, the carpenter, the mason, the thing and this and that. The pastor, he wants to be... what they call themselves, full-time pastor.
Yeah, I never...
And you still can't find him if you need to talk them through the week for some counseling or nothing, but he's still collecting the full-time pastor salary.
I mean, I agree. I mean, personally, I'm here, I'm sharing, and I don't mind getting the pushback, but in my beliefs,
believe... We're not chastising or beating down the church.
I know, but people
say things like godly men should be in the parliament. In the last administration, we had some 12 to 15 licensed ministers, and that was the worst ministry, and that was the worst administration in an independent Obama.
Boy,
the worst, bar none.
Right.
You know, so we you have to know what a lot of people don't realize. They have to know their role. You have some people in the church, they can't sing. But they want to be the praise team leader.
And you know why sometimes, too?
They want to be the leading intercessor.
Sometimes it's because...
the rules of everybody, you know.
Yeah, but then, see, again, let's look at the head. Let's look at the leadership and the leadership style. So what that pastor allows, or if that pastor allows chaos, everything is going to be chaotic. You won't have flow. You won't have it. And then for some people who feel like...
Don't allow chaos, you know. You know what happened to some of these big churches? The biggest donor has the biggest amount of
space. I was getting there. See, you jumped there. I was getting there. So I was saying, well, that's why Sally Susie and whomever could feel like they could lead because they throw in the top dollars. And
no,
see, this
they
is...
They daddy.
Even the daddy,
you know,
even
like
them.
In the church, I mean in the office. You ever hear about the office husband?
The office. Oh, yes, we.
Okay, so
Akira and I and Davin were talking about that the other day. So church has become the work, the church husband.
Yeah.
They have church husband and wives. I didn't even think about that. Oh, wow. And that's true. So all the time. So, and then that raises another question. That means now when they go to church, even though they're not physically with the pastor, they're emotionally attached to that pastor.
To the pastor.
Yes. Oh, wow. What a revelation today.
they don't have time to even date a man.
No, because they committed to the pastor.
Meeting, they want to have church Sunday night, prayer meeting Monday night, Bible study Wednesday night, prayer day practice Thursday night, youth meeting Friday night, 7 o'clock Sunday morning.
No time for the family.
What time that woman have to talk with day to talk to somebody?
That's what I'm saying. No time for the family.
They done married and even didn't realize it.
Right.
And then when they do realize it, they can't bear no more children. And then they're going to go try burn 97 on somebody doing foolishness.
I agree.
All the youth gone. It ain't nothing wrong with the church, you know. I love church.
Yes. And see, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. See, me, I'm saying the same thing. I love church, but there are some things that we are now noticing, and there are some things that we cannot longer stay silent.
We as a right-thinking adults, a right-thinking human being, we got to realize to say that, you think my wife could have come with my oath 7 nights of the week, but she got the
But then there's manipulation because sometimes, you know, they make you feel as if that if you don't come, you don't love the Lord or you're not
a
devout Christian.
The pastor, they ain't worrying about the Lord. They run in competition. Ooh, like the pastor.
But last year.
They running out the Lord. You can say I'm in love the Lord.
I agree. Wholeheartedly.
You know, and then the woman go to work all day. Get off 5 o'clock. Rush home. Even here helping the children with the homework. Even here making sure for food prepared for husband when he get home. Even in making sure the man get clean and the clothes put on to work the next day. She done rush home to bed, lay down for 2 minutes, get up, go to church. Come home and after 9, 10 o'clock, get her can dinner.
Yes, see, and again, this is why some churches, I'm not going to say all, you are taught to be a devout Christian. And what does that look like? You spend 24/7 in the house of God. But then these pastors, that's what I'm saying, some, not all, they are doing a disservice and not saying, hey, you've already been here Monday, Tuesday. Mom, go take the rest of the week off and go spend with your husband. Y'all go do something nice.
You don't want to go to church every night? The church have enough people? Well, some can come Monday, some can come Tuesday.
I agree. It should be a rotation.
You want to be there every night.
Because
then when they go to work, they on the computer. They reading the Bible. And I'm not reading the Bible. All they say, they do the government or do the people work. They take it. They're copying off all kind of bulletins for the church. On the people. All that is stealing.
I agree.
You can't be that safe.
No.
That's true.
If you're that safe, you're a fool. And I ain't apologizing.
Yeah, well, you know.
You're keeping the people's paper to copy off of the church collecting offering every Sunday and the tithe. Why the church come by a copy machine?
Yeah.
You're teaching the government things for the church. You're teaching the
And you're right, and that is so wrong. But see, and it's little things like that they don't see as little sins. They see that as, oh, I'm just serving the church, but you stealing the man paper. Yeah. You using his ink and his electricity for the sake of the church. And God isn't pleased with that. Oh, no, that ain't no sin to them. Oh, no. And then not just that, even taking time.
That's a sin. Father, they can say, I ain't sinning. But they ain't wanting to teach in the mind time. A sin is a sin.
Yes. Exactly.
Then you go to hell, they put in your category, the paper teeth are good on me, the sweetheart good on me, this.
No, they're not looking at that. That is too itty-bitty.
You're always talking about, people talking about the man of God and the woman of God and this thing and that thing. If you throw a rock in a bunch of dogs,
the one that holly,
the only dog will get in.
That's right.
If I'm a man of God, you can say what you want to say. You don't mean me.
And that's
so
true.
I have nothing to worry about.
Exactly. And then, like I say, this is a healthy conversation. It's just for self-evaluation and reflection to say, okay, this is what is going on. Now, let me see. Is this going on in my house? I need to start to do cleanup work. This is how we move to become better.
Yeah.
It have to start with the conversation. And sometimes you can't even go to the pastor and say, oh, well, pastor, I saw so-and-so, or I saw something you did, and I don't think this aligns with what we read in the Bible. Sometimes you can't even say that.
Yeah. You know, there are certain things. We hear it so much until we believe it is in the Bible. A lot of things people say on the pulpit ain't in the Bible.
And I completely agree.
So much, till it becomes, like it's in it's, man. Read yourself to show thyself approved.
And this is what I'm saying.
Study your Bible.
Listen, these men and women, I always say they are mortal men, just like you and I.
Yes.
They get aroused. They get upset. They get everything. So why do we put them on a pedestal? And again, I ain't bashing them.
The pastor preachers, them Baptist preachers, this is my last, I got it. Okay.
All right.
They want to preach on everything, 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 everything. Start talking with tithes and offering in a meeting.
Oh, yeah.
That's everything is an old sensation. Everything is in the Old Testament. Tithing and things is in the Old Testament.
I can't even.
That's the only thing they want to keep.
I can't even get there. But, Carl, I really appreciate your call back. I appreciate your input, man. It was nice chatting with you today. We got to run to the next call. Carl, you on there?
Hey, Precious.
Hi, how are you? This is the next call back. So go ahead.
You got to stop apologizing. What you have saying is truth.
Yeah.
Behold the politician to the fire, their feet to the fire. And what we don't see the pastors doing, that is not a cry of God, we supposed to hold them accountable also.
Yeah, and then when we do so, it's like, oh, we rebellious. Yeah. We out of line. But who is holding them accountable?
Well, how come? How come?
But this is what I see is going on. Like, okay, no. Earlier the texter said, we have to be so cautious and careful how we talk about God people.
No.
But when we bash and talk about the politicians, aren't they God people as well?
Exactly.
They mightn't say they on the pulpit, but they are still God people. But we sit down and we even tarnish the nation.
We have seen some things, some men who call themselves pastors in this little country.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We have heard but some horrible stories.
Yes.
And some of us know but some stories.
Yes.
But only when it comes to Satan, we hide Satan's things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you're sweeping God things under the rug.
God calls some of them false prophet and whatsoever. So in other words, when we follow the teaching of Jesus Christ and these pastors is not doing because why? We are the church. We only go to a building where we go to assemble ourselves to worship.
I agree.
And the same way we fall in line, the pastor got to fall in line the same way. He is no different.
He is no different.
From us. Mm-hmm.
No different from us. And this is, again, this is what I'm saying. And as you mentioned, I have to be unapologetic about it because this is something that I notice. And kudos. Mm-hmm. I give kudos to those who are living the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And who are striving for excellence. But I have to now call out those, and even in the Bible say those who know the knowledge and understand would be dealt with a stricter. They would be dealt strictly because they know these things.
They know better, but
they still choose not to do better. Mm-hmm. So,
you get some pastors start off good, they start off good. When you hear pastors saying, some of them saying, principal don't put food on the table, what is he saying?
Principal doesn't put food on the table?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I don't know what type of principle he's talking about.
So in other words, that is a known pastor who said that back then, inside the 80s or the 90s or something like that. But so we put these men, and we know that these men are flawed just like us. These men have feelings like us.
This is what I'm saying.
They have eyes to see a woman who they see.
They get aroused. They get upset. They get angry, hungry.
Why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. That's why Paul tells the man, say, no, don't worship me. I am a man just like you all.
Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I am a mere man.
And they must learn to understand this. You understand? Yes, I will respect my pastor. But if he's saying something that is wrong in that Bible, I am going to question him.
Oh, no, you can't question pastor. No, you can't do that. Rebellious.
I mean, don't question the pastor.
You rebellious. And don't question God. You rebellious.
We ask Jesus. We ask the apostle them same thing. And another
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. They always ask him questions.
And, another thing. If you don't call these men prophet or bishop, they get mad about it.
Yes.
But how come you call Paul, you don't call him no apostle.
Exactly.
You call Peter.
And that's the next thing. So it's
an apostle.
Bent on titles.
You understand? There's only title, and their mother gave them a name, a government name. You know, you're not being respectful. You, if a pastor named John, you say, John or pastor, oh, you know where he is. He's bishop or he's apostle. Well, come on, man.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, caller. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We will be right here on Remark Today. I am your host, the precious one, alongside with Akira Molly.
Knock me down, I get back up. You got to feel the fear, but you got to keep on moving. I know the devil's there, but I got to keep on moving. 'Cause you didn't bring me this far to leave me.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Girl, you see how Cora I look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she says she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does this work?
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Can't keep a good man down.
Can't keep a good man down.
You cannot stop this show. I am blessed where I go. Can't keep a good man down.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 on Remark with Precious and Akira. We're discussing the church on biasness, favoritism,
and hypocrisy in the church. We've been having such a wonderful dialogue. I thank you all for calling. I thank you all for your texts, even though some of them was a little bit off the wall. But it's open, and a healthy dialogue is needed. And as I said, we're not here to bash the church, but we're just putting forth our observation. And it have to start somewhere. And the conversation, we have to start with what we're seeing, and then we can move forward as to how can it be addressed and how can we move forward with bringing solutions. So we're not just here, just having a chit-chat. I would say myself, I try my best to see how I can be a solution everywhere that I go, especially when it comes to the church. Now, I'm not proclaiming that I am no saint. You know, I try my best to be the best individual I could be. And I try best to live to the principles and the teachings in the Bible, you know. And so it's been a good conversation. And Akira, I just want to ask you that. I want to ask you, what church teaching harmed you the most, and why? Like any teaching or any saying that you've heard over and over. I mean, I could tell you a few.
I can't think of anything. I could tell you one.
I think one of the things that was said to me is, if I was to leave the church I was at, like, the blessings of the Lord would leave me.
What?
Yeah, so see, this is what I'm saying. So it's like, and I wouldn't say that I feel indifferent towards that leader, You know, because some leaders, they get so caught up on keeping the fish as opposed mm-hmm. to releasing the fish. And it was time for my departure. You know, it was required of me for more growth. And I had already served my time there. And so it was mentioned to me that, oh, well, if you were to leave, that, you know, that the blessing won't follow. And people, you see, they say these things and they don't understand the harm in saying these things. And so I kind of battled with that because I'm like, well, I know I'm doing the right thing, but why I feel so guilty?
And I think that's a form of manipulation too.
And see, this is what I'm saying. So I'm asking you, like, if you ever even been in a situation where you felt that you wanted to pull away, but they made you stay in a way because they find a way to make you feel guilty or manipulate you into staying. In any circumstances.
I think for me, I would have... Well, I was a bit... just became an adult, young teenager. And it was a situation with infidelity, a couple.
Right.
And the wife, she went to the pastor, just informing him of what's going on. And because he was a big tither... It was like they just turned a blind eye. The evidence was there.
Right.
Like it was clear enough and nothing ever came out of it. So it was a lot of bias and not saying that I had sided with anyone,
right.
but just to see how she was so hurt that, you know, the only place she could have go to seek some sort of counsel, they weren't even equipped to even assist her, or they didn't. I wouldn't say they wasn't equipped, but it was like they turned a blind eye. It was just like a blind eye was turned.
Yeah, and see, as we mentioned, being biased because this one is a heavy tither, or this one supports the pastor more than this one, and it becomes they have favoritism
mm-hmm.
as a result of that. And this is what we see. How many churches that we can go to and, oh, you can't sit in a seat because that seat is designated.
Yeah, that reserved for so-and-so.
For so-and-so. And why is it designated for so-and-so? If I'm an honored guest and you should treat me as an honored guest, you should bring me straight to the front and say, wherever you like to sit, but no, you dare not touch this seat because this is reserved with a capital R for sister or brother so-and-so. And it definitely shouldn't be that way. And so again, we are not here bashing the church, but we are saying there are things that are ongoing, and we are not talking about these things. We go to these churches, we see these things, and we just turn a blind eye,
as if it doesn't exist,
as if it doesn't matter. And I know we're winding down on the show today, and so I just want to touch on something else that I hear a lot in the church when they talk, or you know there's a scripture in the Bible say when Jesus, he used it as a marker to say, you know, how much times do you forgive your brother? And it's 70 times 7 times 7. And so a lot of people say or forgive the person, or just let it go. And you know, our culture says forgive and forget. But I want to ask you, do you think that we should just forgive without, I mean, do you think that we should just forgive without reconciliation or just hashing out everything? Sometimes people just sweep things under the carpet.
As if it never happened.
As it never happened, to say, okay, so you go silent for a minute. You don't speak, and then we just, oh, hi, and we never, you
never
said,
sat down and had that conversation to say exactly what happened and how did you hurt me?
Right.
And how did I hurt you? And how can we move past this and to say, oh, I forgive you?
Right. And then what I always hear, or constantly what I hear is, you know, forgive that, just let it go.
Be the bigger person.
Just be the bigger person. But how, I want to know, has that helped you or hurt you? In so many ways, because I would say for me, I've been a bigger person, but I still small. I mean, I've been in stature, but I've always been, I still been the bigger person. But I feel like I am self-sabotaging. I betraying myself to a particular point. And then, yes, we can forgive. But where's the accountability now? And, okay, you did this to me. And so now let's talk it out. Let's see how we can move past it. But no, you just let that go and we pretend as if nothing
ever happened and we move on. And when we see one another, it's like, hi, that awkward hi. I don't like to live like that.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. It's like we're pretending, and then when in church, or go to that next neighbor and hug everybody, but we have unresolved issues. So I'm supposed to go to the neighbor. I'm supposed to go to the neighbor and say, okay, you know, well, let me give you a high five and tell you, oh, it's your season. And then I know deep down inside.
I just about to say, I don't feel it's genuine.
Exactly. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, why? It's like we have to so much pretend and not be truthful. And it's like, I don't know if, I mean, I could say I haven't been around so much mature individuals, because the minute you say you're offended, oh, but you offend me too. Not even, well, what did I do to you?
Yeah.
How can I make sure that I don't not do this again?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the is we see that we see that over. Well, I mean, I don't know if you see it, but I see it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And so, sorry, I just was checking the text line right then. But yeah, so we have these things again going on in the churches, and I just want to put it out there. I've been in church from. I've been in church from I was, man.
All our lives.
I'm telling you, all our lives. I've seen the inner workings of church. I've seen so many things. And when yes, it is my experience. But I've been around so many different churches. I've served under male pastors. I've served under female pastors. As I would have mentioned the first time we hosted the show, there's the only thing I can say that I haven't done in regards to church was baptize someone and actually hold a church of my own. That's the only thing I can say. When I say this to say that I am coming from a place of being in the body, and I'm not causing, we're not here to cause discord or anything, but we're just here simply saying that, you know, these are some things that we have some matters that we need to address. We can't keep dressing up and going to church like it's nobody's business when we have unresolved issues and matters. It's pending.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to start doing self-evaluation. We need to go back to the drawing board. And I'm saying this as a whole. And we all supposed to hold each other accountable, because the church is to build, uplift, empower, and not destroy us. What we are doing here when we come here and we talk on Remark.
Yes.
So today I want to just thank you all for listening to this show. You have a text you want to read? Okay, go ahead before.
Okay, so this texter says, good evening. This is a great topic. I once was told if I leave my church, doom and gloom will come upon me.
This what I'm saying. I only saying what I know. Wow. Other people. This what I'm trying to say to you. When it was time for me, I know it's time for me to go. Every time that I'm ready to transition, it's like I would have learned so much. There's nothing else that I could do. I have already expanded capacity. And so I knew it was time for me to go. And I just say, you know, I gave a nice letter and I just say, you know, I want to go to another level, because I felt that still there was more growth that needed to be developed. Mm-hmm. And I did, I thought I did the honorable thing. I even left a pardon gift, all these other stuff. I did all of that, but apparently that wasn't enough. And it was said to me, oh, you want to leave? And when you leave, you could rest assured. Like, so it's like the blessing was only in one area.
Hold on. I'm not done.
Go ahead.
The texter goes on to say, then a pastor told me it's a must that I have an earthly spiritual to spiritual to cover me if I want to be blessed.
See, this is what I'm saying.
So I asked the pastor, who was Christ and all the apostles along with Paul's spiritual father? He couldn't answer.
All right, then. And see, this is what I'm saying. I'm not here to say all churches are bad, but in every way, everybody, there's room for improvement. There's room for growth. And this is not just my experience. That's the text experience. It is similar. So imagine how many other people have encountered a situation like that. So this is what I'm saying. So you feel that, okay, so what happened now? For me, I felt like, well, should I stay? Because I don't want to be doom and gloom. But then I know I needed to go. So it put me in limbo. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, boy, I don't know if I'm making the right decision. But I knew I was making the right decision. But because I heard it from my said leader, it made me feel as if that, oh, boy, God ain't going to bless me no more. I might have to stay here. But I still, in turn, made the decision. I say, you know what? I had to go back to the drawing board and realize that, you know, man isn't my source. And my source come from above. And so if you feel like that, you don't get to determine my blessings. God does.
So true.
You can't be bent on that. Go ahead, Akira.
Okay, let me read this text. Our text says, good evening, host and guests and Bahamas at large. Of course, there is
hip-hop. One second. The host is Precious Molly, Precious One, and then is Akira Molly. Go ahead.
Okay. Of course, there is hypocrisy. I believe in every profession, and no doubt every human being is subjected to all the good and evil in and of this world. When someone say a thing and leave it as it is, folks have a tendency to take that particular word and not give thought to as what do you mean by the word in question. Now, there is two words to choose from, and some folks would prefer to choose the one for belittling purpose. For instance, principles or principles. I suppose the choice is anyone's decision depending on one's motive.
All right, I appreciate that text. And again, oh boy, it is something. And you know, when we talk about the church, it is a hot topic, but we're just saying again, it's just so we can move forward in a positive, healthy direction, because we're all looking for empowerment. We all want enrichment in our lives. We all want to be spiritually fed, and we have to do the work ourselves. But we see these things, and if they're the leaders, we have to call out some things. We just cannot sit by and just watch it go by. That means we are a part of the problem. But when we start to speak out, and then when we start to address it, then we start to move in becoming the solution. Yeah. Boy, we have some clever texters, boy. You know? But we more clever. So today, we thank you so much, so much, so much for listening into this show. Again, I want y'all to continue to lift Darvin and his family up in prayer for those who pray.
The righteous prayers.
Yeah, for those who pray not and who have a sincerity of hearts.
Yes.
Please, let's just continue to uplift Darvin and his family at this time of need. And it's been a wonderful day hosting this show with my co-host, Akira. I want to thank God so much again for entrusting us for being here. Chris, always hold it down. Yes, Chris, always looking out for us. Woo-woo, kudos to you, Chris. You know, and so you've been listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And be sure to get your copy of the paper in the morning. I am not sure we will be here tomorrow. We may. I think Gabby has the show tomorrow. But if not, we may be in studio.
So
we'll see you another time. Thank you again for listening.
Let the whole church say amen. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. Lift your hands. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. No. Oh.
God has spoken, so let the church say amen.